Bob, last week we spoke about the increase in deaths related to the opioid fentanyl, and this week you have a follow-up for us.
Yeah, it's a pretty serious situation that's beginning to develop, and of course we should acknowledge that the opioid crisis has really struck all across the country, although El Paso and southern New Mexico have been fairly fortunate to have been spared what other communities have faced, but we are seeing problems in El Paso, and one of the data points that really jumped out at me was that last year, for the first time in many, many years, overdose deaths were the leading cause of accidental deaths in El Paso. They surpassed even car accidents and other forms of blunt force trauma. So really problematic. We had more than 120 overdose deaths last year. So Renee Klajic, who's been reporting on this for us, looked at some of the efforts underway to help prevent these overdose deaths and to help people in recovery. And she focused a lot on a concept known as harm reduction, which basically is kind of, I guess the easiest way to think of it is sort of the opposite of the war on drugs approach. Instead of locking people up and using aggressive tactics like that to look at ways to minimize potential harmful impacts, to provide Narcan, for example, which is a drug that if administered quickly during an overdose can save lives, and then to work in treatment and things like that. So those efforts are underway in El Paso, but they're heavily underfunded. And one question we had, for example, was whether El Paso police officers carry Narcan in their cars, which is a very common thing among law enforcement agencies. The El Paso Police Department wouldn't even answer the question.
Wow. We look forward to hearing some more on that from you in the future, Bob.
Yeah, I think unfortunately there's going to be a lot more coverage coming of this issue. It's very, very serious.
Mm-hmm. And I was listening to an interview about a Texas lawmaker somewhere in Houston who all of a sudden lives in a different district. And I guess that's not so isolated.
Yeah, so we're, I think we've talked about this a couple of times in recent weeks. Texas this week just completed its redistricting process, or at least the first effort of it, because there's going to be lawsuits involved for sure. But state legislature drew new boundaries for congressional districts and for state legislative districts. And I think I want to start by talking about the state legislative districts and the impact that's having in El Paso. El Paso, since the 1980s, has had 5 members of the Texas House of Representatives. That's going to go down to 4 next year because our population growth was slower than the state average. So we're losing representation, and one result of that, obviously, when you go from 5 to 4, 2 people in there are going to wind up in the same district. And the way the boundaries were drawn, the Republican legislature put 2 El Paso Democrats in the same district, both women, both Latinas, Claudia Ordaz-Perez and Lino Ortega. Claudia Ordaz-Perez changed her voter registration address. And it now appears to look like she's probably going to run against another member of the delegation, Representative Art Fieto. And again, all of these people are Democrats, so they're going to 2 of them are going to have to run against each other. And there's, I think, some bad blood really developing out there that we need to watch for. The El Paso delegation has been pretty unified in recent years, but that may be breaking down as a result of this redistricting effort.
All right. And on the redistricting story still, but this time for the congressional redistricting, it looks like El Paso gets to keep Fort Bliss, but not Biggs?
Yep. And so just for a geography lesson for folks not really familiar with El Paso, Biggs Army Airfield is part of Fort Bliss. It's over by El Paso International Airport, so largely to the east of where the headquarters area of Fort Bliss is. There was an effort by Republicans initially to put all of Fort Bliss into the 23rd Congressional District, which is represented by a congressman from San Antonio named Tony Gonzalez. The El Paso House delegation that we were just talking about managed in the House version of the bill to get most of Fort Bliss put in the 16th Congressional District, which is represented by Democrat Veronica Escobar of El Paso. But when it went to a conference committee to resolve the disputes between the Senate and the House, they kind of split the baby and put Biggs Army Airfield and some other parts of mainly rangeland for Fort Bliss in Representative Gonzalez's district and the headquarters area of Fort Bliss in Representative Escobar's district. So it's going to be interesting to watch that. It could be good news that you have, 2 representatives from different parties now representing the interests of Fort Bliss. But I think it's also bears watching because Representative Gonzalez from San Antonio is viewed as a rising star in Republican circles, has a strong national security background. And so this redistricting plan put both parts of Fort Bliss and all of Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio in his district.
All right. You can find these stories and more at elpasomatters.org. Bob, as always, thanks for the update and have a great week.
Thanks. You too.